Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my gosh, it's hot enough to melt your face off, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis Perez, how are you, sir?
Aside from having my face melting, is it rotation yet?
Not yet. No, it's getting there, though, so let's get right into it. Yeah, so it's good to be back. Like, let's say that.
Yes.
You know, so we did take a week off, but before we begin, we'd like to remind you guys that this episode and every episode of the Planestalkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, someday, maybe, Lord willing, when we can finally get out of this COVID nightmare. Kerwin's does provide a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike, with locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York. Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Now, again, we've talked about it before, but they do have a great website. The new website's up. You can find it online at kgsonline.com. That's K as in kite, G as in go, S as in Sam, online.com. Don't forget, you get 5% off any online order when you use the Planestalkers 2020 promo code. That's Planestalkers 2020 to get 5% off. We also want to take a second to recognize our Planeswalker level patrons. This is great. The list is getting longer. Matt, Johnny, Bells, Anthony, Steve, Ian, Walter, George, Josh, and Zach are very integral, and we're very glad to have you. But we also want to recognize our newest level patron, Jonathan. Welcome to the Planeswalker. We do appreciate you guys. You know that. These are the people that really do help the show out in so, so many ways. If you want to get into the drawings we have, when we do Zendikar Rising, you know, our patrons tend to get a little bit of bonus stuff. We're going to rework some of the things you get as a patron because, you know, we keep being unable with Commander Craft. It's just, it's hard to keep up with another, you know, set of, you know, decks and shows and stuff. But we're gonna figure that out. Him and I are going to go to the drawing board, but we do appreciate your help. If you can find out more about the Planestalker patron program at patreon.com/planes. You can find out more at patreon.com/planestalkers. God, that's
you take a week off and you forget how to talk. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, it's really, really weird. So we are an untap, and of course, I have to untap. Oh, so this week, my untap is a King Sue Double India Pale Ale. So this'll be good. It's basically got a dinosaur on the can,
which means you're going to be extinct by the end of the show.
Absolutely, but I'm stinking every day on the show.
They walked into that one, didn't they?
You really did. You did. So we had a week off, sir. How the hell are you? How have you been? What's new? What's the haps? What's the peeps? What's going on?
Well, we're
going
to talk about it later in the show, but, you know, Jumpstart's great. So I've been playing a lot of Jumpstart, playing a little bit of Historic Best of One. Got my wife to play over the weekend a little bit, so she's learning.
I got my wife back in.
No Atraxa this time, right?
No Atraxa. No Atraxa.
You're learning. But no, it was a good week off. Happy to be back so we can talk about all the things that have happened because, wow, some things have happened.
You know what? It never fails. This happened to us last year when we took off for my wedding. It was the same idea. Like, I think a bunch of stuff. I think last year the roadmap came
something
out
like that.
Where they're like, okay, Throne of Eldraine, and then all this, and Zendikar. And I'm like, fuck.
And it all worked out great. So, nothing ever went wrong at all with any of those sets.
No, nothing happened. Throne,
nope,
nothing.
Nope, everything was fine.
Let's not discuss that. So, yeah, and I had a great week. I needed it. We went on vacation. My wife and I went to this campground that we went to 2 years ago with the kids, but this time we went without the kids. And I'll tell you, I was not prepared for this. I guess not taking your kids on a vacation is a thing. Like, that actually is hard for some people. Like, my wife was struggling with the idea that we weren't taking the kids. And I was insistent. I'm like, it's our first anniversary. No, we're not taking the kids. It's us. This is it. We're doing this. So it right up literally until the day before we left, we were talking about it. And then we got up there and we got to camp and we're sitting down and we're on the porch and we're relaxing. And she looks over at me and she goes, okay, you were right. She's like, yeah, we couldn't have done this with the kids. She'd be like, she was like, I'd be following them around and we'd be getting, I'm like, I know. So we did that. We actually got magic in. She told me to bring some cards, and what I was smart to do was I bought all the Challenger decks when they came out because of the students, which, you know, turned out to not be needed. But anyway.
Whoops.
whoopsie. But I had them in my setup. So I had them in my, you know, in my box. And so I just grabbed my road box that I use for work. And we're sitting there, we're trying to decide what to play, and I'm like, I've got the Challenger decks. So I'm like, they're balanced, they're sort of meta. She loved playing the Golgari Adventures one, which I'm like, oh, honey, if I had Sultai in that, you'd have a deck.
I mean, Golgari Adventures by itself isn't bad. It's not a bad deck.
No, she I don't think she won any games. But she was having more fun. It was far more interactive. Like, except for Mono Red, I played two games with Mono Red. I'm like, okay, I'll stop now. And I played the Simic Flash. She wasn't digging that either. But, she had a lot of fun with a lot of the other decks. So we had a pretty good time with that, and we got to get some in, and so she's enjoying it again. I'm going to try to get her into Jumpstart. I'm going to try to buy a couple of packs. When I was up there, their Walmart had them, and I was like, I should have just grabbed them. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was like, I just should have grabbed four of them, just spend $40 or $20 and just whatever. But, what are you going to do? So I'm going to, I'm keeping my eye out for some. I do want to get my hands on some Jumpstart.
Well, when that time comes, give it some time, because it's an unlimited print run, and they said that more is coming. So don't pay more than you have to.
Oh, I don't plan. It's only supposed to be. I'm not buying them. Honestly, I'm not going to buy those from an LGS. I've kind of decided that if I see them in a Walmart or something, that'll be where I buy them. Because again, as much as I love supporting the LGSs, and Kerwin's notwithstanding, I can't get to Kerwin's. But I know that there are a lot of stores out there that, because of the demand on it, have kind of dumped the prices and pump. I'm like, I can't get behind spending $10, $15.
Yeah, no, they're supposed to be like $4 or $5 a pack.
Yeah. So, there is that. But, otherwise, vacation was great. I highly recommend doing it. I'm looking forward to taking one again in December. And, we're going to take one again around this weekend next year, so. But what about you? Did you do anything other than just hang out, magic?
Yeah, mostly just hung out. We had a fence to put up, so that was what most of my week actually was. Taking
out
an old fence and putting up a new one. So that was. Thank God we got it done before the really hot weather came in last week.
It was.
Yeah. So
on
like
Sunday.
So for the weekend we really dialed it back, and like I said, I was able to get a few games in with Pam and. She's like, my problem is that, it's hard to keep track of everything. I'm like, well, you don't have to right now. Just take it easy, learn the interactions, it'll come. And she's like, I'm having fun. It's not that I'm not having fun, it's a lot. And I said, It is. It was like, the basics are pretty easy. When it's time for you to get into the weeds, we'll get into the weeds. But for now, we're playing the decks from game night. So they're super easy. They're sort of balanced against each other. They're not great, They're new decks, so the power level is,
Although the blue deck does have Agent of Treachery.
Blue deck does have Agent of Treachery, but I didn't play the blue deck against her. We played two games, ended up with the green deck both times, because what we did was she picked the deck that she wanted to play, I picked one at random, and then I happened to get the green deck both times.
I played the Jeskai Fighters a lot, because that was very balanced, and it didn't have Agent of Treachery. But it was very balanced. I found it, I did kind of fiddle with the land base a little bit through a shock land in or two, because I'm like, listen, I can't do this without shock lands. It's just crazy. But I did it on hers too. So, but for the most part, it was a pretty nice vacation. We're glad to be back. We will be doing Commander Craft Wednesday, just to let you guys know. But we're in the upkeep portion, so I'll let you guys know what's coming up tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about the PT finals. Everybody's dying, I'm not surprised. We're going to talk a little bit about Jumpstart, the initial thoughts on it, both paper and in Magic Arena. And then we want to talk a little bit, there's been some movement on Zendikar, and they're coming out with a new booster. And, we'll talk a little bit about Double Masters. The cards are out there. We're not going to do any spoilers for that. So if you're, because again, it's not really impacting Standard all that much. So But we're going to talk about that. We got a combat tonight, so we'll go through that. Then we're going to kind of, in main two, we're going to talk a little bit about Arena, but we're really going to give you guys an update on where we are in our winner box. We are two rounds in, and mostly through the second round. So this has been great. I'm very much looking forward. I mean, by the time we get this finished, odds are very good it's going to go right into Zendikar.
Which is great.
You know, yeah. Well, I don't know. There's a part of me that wants to wait until rotation. Like, there's a part of me that wants to wait to start the win a box for Zendikar Rising. Oh, wait. No, because we're not doing standard. We already decided that. We're going to do, like, historic or pauper. So, yeah, I guess it doesn't mean we wait. Yeah. So, because I'm thinking very seriously about doing a pauper. Like, just being like, everybody, you know, that's going to ensure that everybody's building some sort of janky
fun deck. They sort of have to brew.
Plus, everybody has... Well, maybe we'll do artisans so that they can have uncommons. Everybody's got uncommon and common wild cards coming out their ears.
I'm sure at this point, yeah.
Well, I mean, let's see. When's our next call with everybody? It's in September, right?
Yeah, beginning of September, I believe.
Yeah, so we're not going to have a call until Zendikar Rising, so we're just going to have to go forward. Maybe I'll just send it to the patrons on the patron page in Discord and be like, what do you guys think? So... You know, because I do like asking the guys, especially the Planeswalker level, like, what do you guys think? You're our, you know, our guys. So, so again, patron. yeah, and dude, I've been enjoying doing the ride home with Will. I've gotten back on the horse with that.
Sweet.
So, I got four episodes. I did two last week while I was on vacation. I actually set them up in Patreon to drop on Tuesday and Thursday. So, I'm going to have to record a new one because I'm literally out of the ones in the can tomorrow. But, yeah, so I'm very excited about that. We might have some emails. I think Walter sent us an email or something. And then that's, you know, that'll be the show. So let's get right down to it. You know, let's get into the main fun.
Main phase.
Welcome to main phase. Alrighty then. So we have got an incredible show for you. Again, we lost 2 weeks. So, the first thing we want to talk about, though, is that there was an event this past week.
Big event.
The big event. Players Tour. Right, it's not Pro Tour anymore.
The Players Tour Finals, yes.
Yes. So, again, all arena-based. So, standard arena. Mm-hmm. And, well, Aramis, why don't you tell us? Because I never got a chance to even watch it.
All right, so. Well, so the way that it worked out was they had 7 rounds, I believe, on Saturday and 7 rounds on Sunday. And the top 8 is not going to play for another week. They're not going to play till this weekend. The story of the tournament, and it's been the story of Standard for the last, I don't know, since forever, is the Reclamation decks. There were 145 players that were qualified for this tournament. During day 1, if you combine Teemer Reclamation with 4-Color Reclamation, those decks made up over 50% of the meta. So over 72, like 73, 74 players out of this tournament were playing a Reclamation deck. The day 2 conversion upped the total to over 60% of the 74 players who made it through the day 2 playing Reclamation. The top 8, half of that is Reclamation. The other 4 decks are decks that were basically built to beat Reclamation. So we're at the point now in the meta where if you're not playing Rec and you're not playing to beat Rec, you're probably not going to win. It's sad. It's stale. It's boring. I want rotation. Where's the rotation? When is Zendikar coming out? Is it next week? Nope. It's another 2 months from now. So we're stuck with this.
Well, a month and a half. Come on. August 1st is Saturday, for crying out loud. It's a month and a half.
Well, I mean, because it's the set comes out in the middle of September. So, right. Month and
so,
a half and change.
Again, month
yeah.
and a half.
But still, it's my God, it's just, Reclamation is everywhere, and it's obvious that this is the best deck, and that if you want to beat this deck, you have to really be specific in how you combat it, and that really stagnates the metagame. I mean, there was one rogue deck that made it to the top 8. It was a Mardu Winota deck. I'd have to find the deck list, but obviously, you know, it's right. Getting Winota out and then turning a bunch of non-human sideways to get a bunch of humans out for value. Not Agent of Treachery, so I'm not sure what their kill was. But it's just, the dead horse has returned from the grave, and it's got, like, other dead horses around it, and it's just overrunning everything. It's terrible.
I don't know. I
60%.
60% of a top eight.
No, 60% of the field.
Oh, during the event,
and the,
yeah.
The tournament.
It's 23% of the total meta according to Goldfish, and it is sitting at 50% of the top eight. There, four of them are playing Reclamation of some sort, either four color or teamer.
And don't get me wrong, it's not that I don't like the deck. It's just this is the deck you have to pick.
I'm just gonna say this now. I don't see a problem with this. And I know that I feel like I should, but maybe it's because of where we are. Maybe it's because, you know, baseball players are getting COVID and football may not happen. But there's a part of me that's just like, I can understand them not banning Teamer Wreck. Either because, now it would be, I really beginning to think, and I've heard other shows say this, that I'm not going to be surprised if in Zendikar Rising, we have Growth Spiral. That they don't want to ban a card now that's coming out in the next set.
Mm.
Because, and I get that. And I will, I mean, if that's the reason they're not doing it, a salute, you know what? Then make a spoiler. Like, be like, here you go, guys. Here's your first spoiler. And it's a common. Yeah. You know? But I just, that literally would then, everybody would go, oh, that's why. You know, now, do I think they're putting Wilderness Wreck? Is that possible? Like, okay, because you could say, well, ban Wilderness Wreck.
I mean, both of them would fit in the theme of Zendikar.
It really would.
They both would fit. Now, that's
and that's
terrifying.
And that's where I'm kind of wondering about.
God,
is
I hope
that
not.
If they're trying to push off until rotation because they're in Zendikar Rising and there would be a whole lot of egg on their face. And here's the thing. I think that the reason we got here and how we got here is they were too quick to the ban hammer. I think banning fires with Agent of Treachery was a mistake.
Well,
I think fires of Invention on its own was not a horrible card.
It's a mana doubler.
I think, yeah, it's a doubler, but so is Wilderness
Wreck. Yeah.
But it's a doubler in red. All right, it's a doubler in red. And it's, you're only playing on your turn.
It's a doubler, it's
so
a doubler
it's
in red, but you're casting blue spells.
Right. But you're still only casting them on your
true,
turn.
True, but they are
like,
haymakers.
I feel fires was a bit of a misstep. I still think that they shouldn't have banned fires. And I know I said before, ban fires, I understand it. But I've been thinking more and more about it, and I'm looking at the problems we're having with Wilderness Wreck. Fires would shut that deck down. Like, fires would, if fires without AOT would shut that deck off.
I don't know about that. That'd be interesting to see.
Well, we should do it. But I mean, I think that, okay, so yes, you would have fires pulling out the red planeswalker, which would pull out a second creature. I get it. All right. I understand that the combo there with Loras, is that, was it? No, what the hell was the name of that?
Well, you, Luca.
Luca. I understand the combo with Fires and Lucia was a problem. But I think banning Fires was a mistake. Because I think Fires would allow a lot more decks to come in. I mean, could you imagine a Rakdos Fire deck with the mono black aggro shit?
Yeah, but that doesn't fit with the way Fires works. Because like you said, you can only cast two spells. And aggro wants to cast lots of spells. And they also want to cast spells on your turn, which Fires doesn't let you do. I think what the problem was that if they were going to ban fires, they needed to ban Reclamation too. Because here's my issue is that I'm okay with there being a top deck. I have no problem with there being a deck to beat. The problem is when that deck to beat is so pervasive, because I live through Affinity Standard. When the deck is so pervasive that everyone is playing it in a major event.
So this has to ask the question, though. Now, this is going to beg the question, and maybe this is where we can talk about it, is that, okay, is it a result of the deck, or is it a result of arena success?
Meaning,
more people are playing, more people are involved, more people are going to MTG Goldfish and net decking, more people are getting, you know what I mean? Like, you're not seeing as much.
No, I think brewing. I don't think it's that, because if anything, if there was going to be a solution to the Reclamation decks, it would have shown up. because more people are playing, more people are net decking, more people are looking at that information, so there's more minds trying to crack the code. And if they haven't been able to figure out reclamation by now, it's not going to happen by rotation.
But here's the thing. There are 1,000 ways to remove enchantments inside of...
There are, but having to main deck them is not great. You know what I mean? It's about the efficiency. It's like, what are you taking out of your deck that...
But this is magic. This is what
right, but
do.
It waters down... Paper, rock, it waters down your... That's the thing, though. There's rock and paper, but there is no scissors. That's right. The problem. We have rock and paper. There is no scissors. There needs to be a scissors.
Because, like, rock is, you know, rock is obviously reclamation. Paper is...
Paper's
the
ramp decks. Yeah,
ramp.
Paper's the ramp deck. Or, well... Paper for this tournament, paper are the decks that were built, like the mono green aggro, mono white aggro, maybe that Mardu deck. Paper are those decks right now, specifically built to fight against reclamation, but they might have really bad matchups against other decks that, so like they're sort of, you know, one shot, one trick ponies.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the problem is that having this one deck be the best deck is fine. You know, you can have a favorable matchup, but I remember, I think I've read somewhere that the reclamation decks had over a 70% win percentage when it wasn't a mirror. That's right. Absurd.
But the same thing would happen with Bant Ramp. I think we're at this point.
Well, Bant Ramp was
where...
the third most played deck in the tournament.
Right. I think, though, but without Team or Rec, all right, without Rec, we're going to have nothing but Ramp decks everywhere.
Yeah. But I think there's more. There are more weapons to fight the ramp decks than there are to fight the reclamation decks, because the reclamation decks have access to all of their mana every turn.
Right. Every one of your turns.
Every turn, because they untap at the end of your turn, at the end of their turn.
Right,
so
right,
they can
right.
they can cast all their spells, untap, have tons of mana open for whatever they want to do right. during your turn.
And I get it. Well, listen, reclamation. We were hot on that when it came out.
We were scared to death of this card.
Yeah, and I mean, and it never came. It was the boogeyman that never happened, mostly because everybody was talking about Nexus mm-hmm. at the time, and they wanted to just get rid of Nexus, not get rid of Wilderness Wreck. I just
feel like there's.
I don't know. I just don't know that a ban is. I don't know. It's the right time.
Oh no!
For
like there's
now.
There's people.
I mean, we are a month and
yeah,
a half.
Yeah, there
out.
Are people that are clamoring for an emergency banning with 60 days until rotation. At this point, I think you know the horse is out of the carriage or barn or whatever.
Right.
It's too late to do a ban. We're stuck with this for the next 2 months. I think the big problem that I have is that it is so pervasive that it's choking out the innovation that could be left to find in the meta. Because usually, once the core set comes out, that's when those decks that have been neglected throughout the rest of the season have sort of, you know, come up to prominence. Remember when Core 19 came out?
Vampires
was like, hey, for two yeah. months, this was an awesome deck. You had your Rotting Registers and everything else. And now it's like...
It's my favorite deck to play. I love that deck.
So, but with this core set that came out, Ugin was good for a little bit, but he's already kind of faded off a little bit.
But this core set was...
This core set was not as...
busted as last
year. Not as busted, but not as focused. Because remember, the last core set was really big on elementals, really big on vampires, really big on a couple different real strategies. This one had, hey, look at these really awesome reprints, which some of them are really good, and you know they're going to see some play. But you know, I think it's really tough when you have the one deck that is being played by so many people that you have to specialize your deck just with that one matchup in mind, so that if you don't see that matchup during a tournament, you're automatically putting yourself at a disadvantage, like you pre-sideboarded against the wrong matchup. You know what I mean? You're costing yourself percentage points when you really shouldn't have to. Like, you could have answers in your sideboard, but you shouldn't have to put them in your main to deal with this deck.
That's the meta now. I mean, it's going to happen no matter what, and it's a result of power creep. It's a result of what's happened with creeping the power inside the sets the way they have. There's too much to ban.
There's too many
because
threats.
If you ban,
there's too many good threats and not enough good answers.
If you ban Team or Rec, okay, unless you're going to go in and ban Euro, unless you're going to go in and ban things that's also in the
some
ramp
people
deck
have said,
to shut both of
some
them
Some people
off.
Have said that it's not Reclamation that's the problem, that it's Euro.
Yeah.
And we'll obviously have to see what happens after the rotation. If the Euro ramp decks, if Simic ramp in some iteration... My God, if they reprint Growth Spiral, especially. If ramp in those colors continues to be as good as it is, then, yeah, we have to really take a hard look at Uro because, I mean, that is a ridiculous card.
I have to think they're reprinting Grossbottle. I don't know. At least. If not, Wilderness
Reclamation. I really hope it's not Wilderness Reclamation. I would be okay with Grossbottle.
I think, honestly, I could see... No, but again, picture where we were a year ago, okay? Where Wilderness Rec had been out for a few months. Mm-hmm. Nothing was happening with it because Nexus was about to rotate.
Well, remember we were...
Nobody was playing it.
We were saying,
it.
Too, that it, like, it was missing a couple of pieces. It felt like it was just missing one little thing. I think it found its thing.
Right, but Wizards may have been like, this is a great card. We could do some busted stuff.
Yeah, but remember
it.
How far ahead they were.
And that's what I mean. I could see a world where Wilderness Wreck and Growth Spiral are coming back. And, okay. Yeah, that'll suck.
Yeah, that'll suck big time.
And that's when they drop the ban hammer.
Yeah.
But I understand not wanting to do it now because... I mean, they already have egg on their face from banning Fires of Invention, you know, 3 weeks after Challengers dropped. Like, that was like, oops.
Mm. Yeah. I'm okay with the ban of Fires. I'm okay with that.
I know. I just, to me, I look at that and go, I'm wondering if because they're banning so much in Standard, and again, some of it you have to do it because of the power creep level and what's happening. I get it.
And I'm okay with power creep.
I'm okay with a little power creep. They've gone beyond power creep and gone to full-blown power, like, monster step. Like, this is, you know, full-blown power leap.
Well, I mean...
Like, it's, we're, you know, Sam's going to walk out with Al and be like, what are we doing here? Well, it's a power leap, Sam. We wound right from quantum to power. I don't know.
Well, I mean, also, we're gonna try this later, but, I mean, remember, I mean, this deck could have existed with Oko and with Fields of the Dead. And with, what else? All Agent of Treachery, all the stuff that Once Upon a Time, it could have existed with these cards. We're gonna actually bring the curtain back a little bit, guys. We're gonna try to build no ban standard lists to see what kind of absolute nonsense could have been if they hadn't banned things. I personally would wish that they never would have to ban cards in standard. I know, and they've said that too. They don't want to have to ban stuff in standard. And they've made a lot of mistakes, so I don't know if that's something on play design. I don't know if that's something on power creep. I don't know if that's some strange combination of all those events, where they're printing cards with other formats in mind and forgetting about standard. I think that having a number one deck is fine. Just there needs to be more variety. There needs to be, like, remember when Modern was doing really good about a couple years ago, where you could literally bring any deck and do well and have a legit shot at winning the tournament. Standard was like that up until War of the Spark, and now it's just been dominant deck, dominant deck, dominant deck. Just one after the other. And it's just, I'm hoping that rotation fixes that.
Standard was like that even before War of the Spark.
No, but even the best decks were only pulling about 15 to 20% of the meta.
They were pulling 15 to 20%, but again, I think part of this is the change in the player base, because we still had a mono red deck Now, I will say this. Between Hours of Devastation and when Ixalan was the oldest set. Okay, that's when we had a pretty good standard. Ixalan was the oldest
Guilds of Ravnica standard. Guilds of Ravnica Allegiance was good. Allegiance. It's War of the Spark when things really went crazy. But I don't think the player base really changed.
That,
I don't think the player base really changed that much.
Before that, Amonkhet, I think it did. I think Amonkhet and Hours of Devastation, don't forget, the red deck was... a freaking monster.
Yeah, after Ramunap Red, after they banned the stuff for Ramunap Red, because remember there was that time when Sultai was really good, but then that went away.
Right, Sultai Energy.
Well, Sultai Energy was really good, but then it wasn't quite Sultai Ramp, but it was Sultai Midrange. That was good for a bit.
Sultai Midrange was good post-ban.
Yeah, that's
the period
after Ramunap Red.
Of Guilds and Ramunap, right. There was a short period there of about 9 or 10 months where standard was exciting.
That was great, because every deck, all the decks that were good, we're good for like 2 weeks, and then something else came over.
And
came
even post Guilds of Ravnica.
Yeah, up until War of the Spark.
Was exciting. No, even War of the Spark was exciting. It was not until Throne of Eldraine where things went bonkers.
Yeah, but
I think we had a pretty even metagame from everything. We even War of the Spark. But because when Throne of Eldraine came in, and it came in with all of that power, with the Oko and Once Upon a Time, and all of a sudden you're playing Ramp, and it started to explode. You couldn't play aggro or midrange anymore. You still can't. I mean, there are aggro decks out there, but again, it's harder to play them against these ramp.
Well, the aggro decks are good against Reclamation because they can go under it, but they
kill you before.
Yeah, but they're bad against the ramp decks. So that's you're hedging your bets. The thing about the period between the end between the death of Ramunap Red and when Throne of Eldraine, during that period, what was happening was that there, like I was saying, there was always a best deck, but it was constantly in flux. You remember, like, every week we're saying, oh, this is the new best deck. This is the new best deck.
Well, I mean, Autumn Burchett won with Mono Blue
Tempo.
Tempo. Yeah.
There was all these great decks. It was great. Awesome. But we're not there anymore.
No. And it's because of Throne of Eldraine, followed by, I'm not going to say the, I don't know about Theros, but Ikoria did a lot. Theros had a bit, but it was really
Theros
thrown.
Had Euro.
I mean, think about it. What's our ban list look like right now? How many cards from Throne of Eldraine have been banned?
Three.
you know? And a core set. Two of them.
Yeah. Actually, three. Three from the core set.
Yeah.
Because Veil of Summer. Veil of Summer. Yeah.
You're right. I mean, it is what it is.
It's too bad. I'm ready for rotation. Either way, I'm ready for rotation. Yeah. And I really, really, really hope that Growth Spiral and Wilderness Reclamation are not in Zendikar.
I know. I miss Vampires too, Josh. You're going to get Core back, though. Cores are coming back, I'm sure.
Yeah.
With Zendikar.
Well, Zendikar had Vampires.
They did. We might see Vampires.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting... Rotation's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to starting the spoiler, but preview season. Yeah. To see what's coming. I mean, double masters.
I think we can agree that Team of Reclamation is clearly the best deck in Standard and needs to go away.
Right. Yeah, that's the state of Standard right now. So let's pivot from that though, and let's go ahead and get into. Let's talk a little bit about. There were some announcements about. Oh well, before we do that, you know what? Let's put Jumpstart because you're playing. You played that mainly in Arena, right?
Okay.
Let's put that in
main. We can move it down a little bit.
That should be a main two topic. Yeah, because I really think while we're talking about Zendikar and rotation, it's important to talk about. There has been a major announcement this past week. Rosewater came out, and he wrote himself another article. And again, I still hear him with the geek lisp. I really can't help it. I hear the voice. Today I'm going to talk about something we are premiering in Zendikar Rising. And I'm just like, oh, God, I can hear it. But... he's talking about the brand new booster, and this is kind of, I'm not sure how to sit on this yet. It's going to lead us to combat, which is good. But they're going to, with Zendikar Rising, they're going to bring out a new product. Now, and they're not removing a product. This is not replacing the theme boosters. This is not replacing the VIP or collector booster. This is an addition, and it's called a set booster. So... a Zet booster. They're trying to get us to open boosters again, which I don't know anybody
They're making this product. Apparently they did some research and ran some numbers, which always gets them in trouble, but I kind of, you know, I'm like, you didn't know this already? Yeah, this is one of those things where it seemed kind of obvious to me, but they found that, I guess, over half? I forget what the exact actual numbers were, but they said it was over half of the players who buy booster packs aren't drafting with them, aren't playing sealed with them. They're just cracking packs, which I was like, duh. I could have told you that. You didn't need to have a research group for that. So what they're doing is they're saying, you know, hey, look, you know, you open the booster packs that you're opening now, the draft boosters, or what used to just be called booster packs, the 15-card boosters that we all know and love from way back in the 90s, were, you know, a pile of commons, a few uncommons, and a rare. And they're built for draft. And they said, well, now, you know, with the way people are opening boosters, we don't feel like this has the excitement that it used to have when you opened a booster pack.
And Zach? No!
Well, you can talk about research. Okay. Yeah. So, Zach, yeah, they're talking about basically how opening a booster pack isn't as exciting as it used to be. Maybe part of the problem is that half your booster pack costs $30. But anyway, so they're like...
Well, now. Wait a minute. That's the collector booster. That is not the same thing. You cannot assign that to a... you can't. The double masters are not... 30 bucks for a regular booster? All right, so it's 15, but a master's like 10.
Last one was 15, too.
But
anyway,
I'm not saying it's good.
Whatever. Booster should be priced the same. I don't care.
Don't get me wrong.
So they decided, okay, we're going to make a new kind of booster, and we're going to try to make it exciting for people who just want to crack packs, which I like to draft. I like sealed. I love to crack packs, too.
Okay.
So they came out with the set booster.
I got to be honest.
And first glimpse, I like it. I like it a lot. So what they're doing is in the article, he broke it down. The first slot you're going to get with the set booster is an art card. You're going to get a full art card. And it's not going to be... Yeah, they did
Which
with
is
Modern
what they
Horizons.
Did with the Modern
they did just
and
it's
Ultimate
it's a
Masters.
Full size Magic card, but it's all art. And some of these are going to be gold stamped with the artist's signature, sort of as like a premium version.
That could be a problem with some of the people they haven't gotten rid of.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but we'll have to see what's going on with that. It's starting in Zendikar, so it might be in that. But we'll whoops. Anyway. So, yeah, you're going to get those. Whoopsie. I kind of like that idea. I didn't get a chance to collect any Modern Horizons, but I kind of like this idea. So I was like, all right, cool. And then the second slot's going to be a land slot. So it's going to be full art basics. And then 15% of the time, that land's going to be a foil, which means you're going to get the Noah Bradley lands there, whether you like it or not. If you get that land as a foil, you can still get an additional foil in the pack later on. So it doesn't take the place of the regular foil slot. So it's like, okay, you can get multiple foils in a pack. I like that. You know
Which
me, I love foils. The next...
Yeah, because you like your cards
well,
to bend.
I put them in sleeves immediately, but they still bend a little bit. The next six slots are going to be commons and uncommons. But these ones are going to be a little different. They're going to be grouped in a way so that each card of the same rarity has something to do with the card next to it. So it could be a similar creature type, or the cards play well together, or things of that. They're gonna fit as part of a puzzle. Okay.
So then my question is, why the hell
is
this
the draft?
Because
drafting, it's the randomization, because you're only picking one card. So having the other cards be related to each other, you're not going to see any of these cards come back. Sealed would be great. So maybe they start doing sealed with set boosters. That's a possibility. The other thing that they're going to be doing is those six cards. It could be five commons and a common. It could be six uncommons. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be a percentage as to what mixture of those six cards are going to be common and uncommon. So that, you know, that's cool.
Right.
If you're trying to build a set, you get a whole fistful of uncommons instead of a bunch of commons you already have. The next set, and by the way, before I go any further, these booster packs are only 12 cards instead of 15. So that part kind of, so you're getting a couple fewer cards, but it looks like you have an overall chance of getting more quote unquote value for your buck. Next one they're calling a head turner slot. So this one's always going to be a visually interesting card, according to Morrow. It could vary from set to set. And they said for Zendikar Rising, you're going to get either a common or an uncommon that's either a showcase card or a card that has a cool element that they haven't talked about yet. So there's going to be something special with this card. Obviously, because they can't talk about it until the Zendikar previews come out. But there's something going to be there that's going to be special. Right. And you're going to go, It's a
fetch land that doesn't fetch.
The next one is going to be a wild card rarity slot. So there's going to be two. Yeah, it's two slots. So there's going to be two cards. It can either be two commons, a common and an uncommon, a common and a rare, an uncommon and an uncommon and a rare, or two rares. And they still haven't gotten to the regular rare slot in the pack. So there is a possibility that you could open three or more rares in this pack. The next slot after that, which is the 12th slot, is the rare mythic slot. So there's your guaranteed rare. They are increasing the drop rate of mythics. It's slight. It's very slight. It goes from 1.8 for one out of every 8 boosters to now 1 out of every 7.4. So it's going to be, you know, basically maybe an extra mythic per pack or per box, which is still fine.
Right.
And then there's the foil slot. So there's a guaranteed foil in every pack already. So you can get two foils if you get the foil land plus the foil slot. And that foil could be any rarity. So you could also get a foil rare there. So that's opening, what, five rares in a pack, possibly? And then there's your token slash add slot. Take away the add cards. Why? You're opening a pack of Magic. Why have an ad about Magic in a pack about Magic? To play Magic? Because it's Magic. We already know it's Magic. Oh, my God, my brain. So one of the things that they are doing, though, instead of the add and token card, so I got my wish, 25% of the time, it's going to be a card from something called, they're calling the list. Not really.
It's a reserve list.
It's 300 cards from Magic's past. It's not going to be a reserve list cards because they can't reprint reserve lists, but it could be anything. So he gave a couple of examples. He posted three examples on the article. One, Pact of Negation.
Sliver, Pact of Negation.
I mean, come on. There's going to be some crazy stuff if Pact of Negation is like, they'll say, oh, by the way, this is in there. There could be some crazy things in there. They've already confirmed that it's not fetch lands. So get that out of there now.
Right.
It's looking more and more like Commander Legends is going to be the product that we see fetch lands in. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's going
to
have to be.
He did say that the dual lands, or at least that's a prediction that some people have had, that the dual lands in this set are going to be pushed.
So they're bringing back duels, which is probably going to be... You gotta figure
couldn't be pain lands because those are all tied to Dominaria.
They did check lands, I think the last time we went to
people
Zendikar.
Are thinking that these are going to be powerful. So I'm thinking like a new type of shock land type. Or some kind of a land that's probably not fetchable, but probably has a way to come in untapped, at least, at the very, very least, a way to...
Well, they need that because right now we at when rotation happens, we have nothing coming in on tap.
Right, so this will definitely be a thing.
So it's obvious that it has to come in with that. Yeah. That's why I was thinking like a check land. I could see
and the other thing
the
with
check
this is that
out.
He did say that these 12-card boosters are going to cost more than a regular booster pack, but only about $1.
Of course they are.
Which, okay. I could deal with, especially with all the potential for rares and mythics and foils that you're throwing. It's like collector booster light, but it's actually reasonably priced.
I don't suppose we could make a deal with Kerwin to get at least our giveaway box.
I mean, that would be pretty cool, but
that might be next year's sponsorship meeting.
But yeah, I mean, it's like if I'm going to be getting a box of Zendikar Rising, I'm probably going to be buying boxes of set boosters.
I think I would buy a box of set booster. I mean, I have one that's, we have one. I'm probably going to buy at least one box of set. I will too, because again, I like the idea of less common and uncommon, to be quite honest with you, and that's what it's talking about. I mean, because what they're talking about is part of their problem that they feel is like, they're like, you go through, and what he's saying without saying is he's like, you go to a store, you crack a bunch of boxes, then you start throwing the commons and uncommons to other people. Like here, I'm leaving them on the table.
Yeah, most people, when you open a booster pack of a set that you've opened any amount of boosters for, what do? You're like, rip away the commons. Are there any decent uncommons here? Whatever. What's the rare? Do I get a foil?
Well, our openings that we did.
Two, three packs
when the set came out. Like, you did, you were like, common. Common. Finally, I text him like, "Dude, just go to the uncommons."
I was planning on doing that anyway. But yeah, because I figured if we have newer players that don't know what the cards do, because maybe they haven't opened any core set packs yet or seen any spoilers, they may not know what these cards do. So I figured let me show them some commons, because it's part of our audience. And then once we got past that point, I'm like, all right, let's get past this. Here's the rares. So.
I don't disagree with you, but the problem I have, and maybe this is where we should get into combat, is that it's another product. Oh, we have regular draft boosters, collector boosters.
Those are going away.
Theme boosters.
Yeah, they're having welcome boosters instead.
Okay, so welcome boosters, and now...
Yep, so set boosters, draft boosters, collector boosters, and welcome boosters. Four different booster packs per set.
It's too much. So and that's really what our combat's going to be. So let's get into that because we actually have one tonight.
Combat phase.
Okay, so let's get into it. Aramis, you proposed this combat.
I am going to take
the
shocking position and say no.
Oh, well, let me put it up there. That the question before us all is, are there too many booster products for each set? Why?
I'm going to say no, but it's a very, very tentative no. I could be very easily convinced the other way on this one. I'm going to say that there's not too many, only because what they're doing is specifically targeting different markets of their player base and saying, if you're looking for this... This is yours. If you're looking for this, this is yours. If you're looking for this, this is yours. Now, as a traditionalist, just give me the damn booster pack. I don't care what's in it. I want the shiny, tasty cards. Although right. they say not to eat the cards, but I don't know. With enough spices and sauce, you know,
yeah,
the,
we know
little marinade yeah. could be decent. Can't be. It's got to be better than right. cafeteria food in most right. colleges, right? Anyway,
absolutely.
I like collector boosters. I much prefer set boosters because you can still get a decent amount, right. you know, a couple of foils per pack. You're guaranteed a foil per pack, potentially more rares. I like this idea. This is what collector boosters should have been, in my opinion. And if they were going right. to do collector boosters, there's no reason that they should cost $30 when they've already shown now by doing set boosters
that they can cost $100.
Yeah. Well, quick aside, we never even mentioned that. If you guys hadn't heard, with Double Masters, they have a VIP booster, which I think is, what, 25, 30 cards, something like that? 12 of which are basic yep. lands. $100 a pack. And that's not even, like, they don't have MSRP, so good luck getting one for $100. You get a bunch of rares and foils and all this other nonsense. $100 a pack? Are you kidding me? What happens if you're two rares or a couple of those 50-cent rares that have been reprinted? You know, what do you... No.
Yeah.
That's way too much. Like, I was barely tolerating collector boosters. This is absurd.
I'm going with Zach on this, and I'm going to use it. We're going to talk about both of these here because, I mean, we should talk about Double Masters and Zendikar Rising. I think there are too many, and I'm not just a traditionalist. I know I'm 46 years old. I know I'm, like, 2 years away from eating peanut brittle and chasing kids off my lawn. I get this. Yeah, I really do. I love peanut brittle. But, actually, I hate that shit. But the point is that it's obvious with Double Masters that Wizards has gone flat out fucking loco, pardon my French, but it's ridiculous at this point. $100. So let me get this straight. I could mm-hmm. buy one pack of Double Masters, which, by the way, I am not guaranteed to even get $50 in cards back.
There are some junk card value rares.
There is some junk in this set. All right. There is absolute junk in this set. So I'm putting $100 into a collector booster, or I could take my other $100 and go buy a box of Zendikar Rising mm-hmm. or even Core 21 and come out. I mean, you opened a box the other day, which had $400 stuff in it.
Now, that was a great box. Normal.
You usually can yeah. get some of your money back. So I'm going to go on a limb here and say, they're getting too mm-hmm. damn granular with the focus. I understand that they think that there's this market out there with there's the market for the whales and there's a market for the regulars and then there's the midline people and then there's the poor people. Okay, let's be honest. Magic is way too expensive.
Quick aside. Sorry to interrupt your train of thought, but I pulled up the article. VIP edition boosters contained 33 cards and 2 foil tokens. Okay. 10 full art basic lands, so there's 23 actual cards plus 2 foil tokens. 2 full art basic lands, so there you go, that's down 21. 9 foil commons, 8 foil uncommons, 2 foil rares and mythics.
That's 16, 2 foil which rares means and mythics, 5 left.
And then 2 foil borderless cards only found in VIP, and the cards with the rare symbol will appear twice as often as cards with a mythic symbol. So you're getting 4 rares.
The fact is,
good luck. It's horse crap.
It's horseshit.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's horseshit. You can say it, Aramis. We can say it. We're already giving the explicit tag.
You
it's
can
horse
say
shit.
It. You can okay. say it. You got that. That's all you.
It is 100% absolute horseshit.
$100 packs, man.
And please, I can't say this enough. Okay, I have never said this before.
Don't buy this.
Buy it. Let them sit on the shelves. And I understand that's hard. I understand that there are
it could
be
cards a foil showcase mana crypt. You know, it absolutely could. But it could be a foil showcase crop rotation that's not going to be worth anywhere near as much.
It's if you buy this product, it says to Wizards, this is where we want to go. And we don't want to go here. I get it. It's the master set. It's for modern. We don't really play a lot of modern, you and I get it. But the fact is, if this pulls off, They'll do it in standard.
Yeah. Oh, it's already coming.
And it's, yeah, the collector boosters. And I do. I think we have too many products. I think this set booster should take the place of collector boosters. I think collector boosters should go away. I do agree with what somebody said earlier. They're like, collector boosters are an abomination.
Oh, but Wizards doesn't acknowledge the secondary market.
And that's true. Wizards absolutely acknowledges the secondary market. That's why they're in the secret lair business. Don't tell me that. I understand what Wizards says, and I'd love for Wizards to become a friend of ours and stuff.
The biggest thing that shoots a giant, you know, like battleship sized hole in their theory about the secondary market and how it doesn't exist or whatever, is that they always say, "Well, if we reprint these cards, it'll wreck the value of the older cards." Look at Birds of Paradise. The beta version of Birds of Paradise is a couple thousand dollars. The Guilds of Ravnica version is like $5. It's the same card.
And again, since you're not counting the secondary market.
Yeah, but it's the same. It's the exact same card. So they printed it in Secret Lair as part of their Birds thing. And it's like, all right. There's no secondary market. They'll be fine. People are still going to pay premium amounts of money for a black-bordered Beta Tundra because it's a black-bordered Beta Tundra. If you reprint the thing in Core Set 2022, yeah, people are going to gobble that up, but it ain't going to affect the Tundra out of Beta.
So that they can play.
Let people play the cards.
It becomes a playable card. That's what needs to happen. Look, there are too many products. I'm sorry.
I'd rather they spent more money. I'd rather they spent their money... settling potential lawsuits with the financial aspect of the game to kill the reserve list than come out with $100 booster packs.
How about this? All right. So the combat is about too many booster products. I got a hot take right here for you. Have the set booster replace draft.
Well,
have it replace it. Why do we? I understand for draft. Make a separate product for draft. That is, maybe keep draft, but stop letting it be the primary way for.
Well, if it was just the draft booster and the set booster, I'd be cool with that. I'd be okay with that because then you'd be like, if I'm not going to draft, I'll buy this booster instead. Cost an extra dollar, but hey, I'm going to get like 5 rares.
Right.
That's smart.
You know, or call the set booster the collector booster, and it's for collectors. All right, we're putting more rares in it. This is for you collectors. This whole collector booster VIP crap is, okay, the cards are shit. Okay, they come in and they fold in a day or two.
Especially the secret lair ones. The collector boosters haven't been as bad, but the secret lairs are terrible.
And I mean, I bought a collector booster the other day and I got a foil. Look at him. He's pretty.
You can see him.
Okay?
Oh, he's pretty. I got one of them too, yeah.
You know, I got a Basri. He's very pretty. And yeah, okay, if I have an extra $25, I'll buy a collector booster if I see it at a Walmart or something, sure. But no, I would rather get a set booster. If I know that the set booster is going to have two rares in it, two mythic or a rare and a mythic, all right,
the good
now
thing
you've
I
got
think
my money.
Is that luckily you're able to get the regular versions of the cards in regular booster packs. You know, collector boosters are basically saying, look, these are the same cards. They're shiny and pretty. They have special frames. Da 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 da. It is for collectors.
I've argued against these though since you and I had a combat on this. I've argued against the existence of these for a while.
Having alternate art, frame. There's nothing wrong with having alternate art, alternate frame versions of cards, as long as the regular versions of the card are accessible to people. Because you're still playing the same bits of cardboard. They do the same thing. I would be very. If we get to the point where there are cards that you can literally only get from these products, that's when we know they've gone too far. And I really hope they don't get to that point. But I can get behind you saying kill the collector booster altogether. Make the set booster the collector booster, even if they ramp up the foil ratio a smidge or the rare ratio a smidge and tack an extra 50 cents or a dollar on top of that, then you're paying $6 a booster. That's fine. I'm okay with that.
I mean, here's the thing. We all know the collector booster is their attempt at retailing the big stupid mail-ons they had, the prestige format or whatever the hell they called it before during core. It was a during Core 19 and then War of the Spark at the Cata 2. It was like where you could get like a Teferi with a board, you got automatic like six planeswalkers and what the hell was the name of that set? But it was like $400 and then they never sent it out right. It was the mail in. The first time they tried to play around with the mail in. And then they went through eBay and
all of the
that.
Ultimate Edition.
I can't remember
edition.
The name of the product.
Oh god.
The Ultimate Editions, Premier Editions, yeah. That's what the collector boosters are.
A bite-sized version.
I get that. That's what it is. It's meant to be, it's meant to be like, hey, instead of charging you $400, you know, we're going to have you pay $25, $30 a piece, and it becomes a lot more random. Because the $400, the reason they said that was like, you know what
you're
getting. I'm like, okay, yeah. I don't think it needs to happen. There's too much product. Yeah. They need to go back. Especially in this economy.
Yeah, announcing VIP edition in the middle of a pandemic when the United States has unemployment that hasn't been that bad in 100 years.
And here's the problem.
Oh, no,
right?
We're not.
We're not done yet. All right. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And people are, you know, don't get me wrong. I still think I should be allowed to have a beer and chicken wings and a bar. But that's a New York joke, guys. Look it up. It's hysterical. But, you know, here's what happened. My wife right now is feeling a little sick and under the weather. We went to a bar the other day on our vacation. She had a beer and French fries and maybe a couple chicken wings. I had beer and a sandwich. That's why I don't have it. If you only have beer and chicken wings, that's how you get COVID. Anyway, moving on. But so I don't think I don't know.
I'll
who
give
won
it to you. I'll give it to you.
I mean,
I'll give it to you.
I definitely.
Yeah, I'll give it to you because I think they should trim the number. First of all, they should trim the number of products they release during the year. I think we can agree on that. Period. There's too many sets to keep track of. Yeah.
I think with the pandemic, they could easily go, hey, next year, all right, next year we're gonna have two sets. All right, we're gonna do Zendikar Rising. And then we're going to have one more, like, in 5 months. And then we're going to have a core set. And then we're going
to
rotate.
Or just stick to the standard editions.
And
be
like,
you know, not 15 supplemental sets and 25 secret layers.
Listen, you can't. Well, if we're not doing paper events, I can get behind that. They have to feed the paper market if they're doing paper modern events.
True.
You have to feed the market. You know, you can't, it gets boring if every, you know, if every set is Bogles and if you're playing, you know, mono red, basically. So let's go into, though, because we're getting low on time here, and we're going to go ahead and get into main two. So,
main phase.
Let's talk about Jumpstart here. We like to talk about Arena main two, and Jumpstart launched a week and a half ago.
I love it.
What do you think?
I love it. I think it's fantastic. Nothing happened to my
What happened to your light?
I changed my monitor setting, so it's not a white monitor. Now I'm looking at you. It's much worse, trust me.
Oh, okay.
pretty something. It's awesome. I love Jumpstart. I think it's a fantastic product. I think they hit a freaking home run with this one. Obviously, they copied another game to do it. But that's fine. Imitation is the most sincere form of flattery.
Okay, well, how do you think Arena is?
I wish it was card for card.
Jumpstart.
I do wish it was card for card. I can understand their crazy fear about historic power levels and everything, but hey, look, guess what one of the best decks in historic is now? Team of Reclamation. Woo! Anyway.
Right.
I think...
Which is why we're not going to probably do historic. We're going to do... I'm more talking about it. I think the Winnebox can be for
Artisan?
Waters.
Okay. Yeah,
Artisan.
Okay. But anyway,
comments. Let them have
it's
comments.
Fantastic in that... It's a little different than buying Jumpstart in paper because and when you're buying it in paper, it's completely random. You really don't know what you're opening until you actually open it. Whereas with here, you have a choice of three packs and then a choice of another three packs, and then that's your deck.
I have a hot take, and I put it in the Discord when it came out.
Really?
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I haven't won. Maybe it's because I don't do enough research, but I'm coming in as a total noob. All right, I'm taking two decks, and...
Really?
I hate it. It's because I haven't, like I said, I haven't been able to win. I haven't been able to, I think I've played like 7 or 8 different decks that I have to keep putting in gems for or coins for. And I'm like, I could go back and play constructed. And I understand that sealed, that's kind of what you get, and but there's still a skill set involved. And maybe because
there's several variations of each theme. So like there's four different variations of the Goblins pack. There's four different variations of the Unicorn pack. The Unicorn one, by the way, that enchantment is ridiculously stupid. But anyway,
I know.
There is certain combinations that work better with other combinations that people are going to figure that out. Although it's natural synergies. You're like, this is this, and I know what kind of cards are in here. It does really well with this one that I just happened to get. It is a lot more random in that respect, though, because you're not guaranteed to get the two packs that have the great synergy together. It does basically ask you to have, you know, to be able to play a limited environment very well. And you've said it yourself. That's one of your bigger weaknesses is limited, not being able to add stuff to a deck to change it. But I like the fact that they have the flat fee to enter, and you can play until you win your two games. I don't like that you have to re-enter to change your deck. Not necessarily that the prizes are only rares from Jumpstart, but that there's no duplicate protection for the cards that were printed in other sets. So if you have four Woe Striders already and you open the Jumpstart version of Woe Strider, it doesn't give you gems. And if you open five versions of the Jumpstart Woe Strider, you still don't get gems, which I think is a very big problem they need to fix. But the game as a whole, the gameplay is very, very good.
Yeah, I
like this for beginners. I like this for established players. I think this is something that you unite with people coming over. What you do, and the professor suggested this as well, you buy a box of Jumpstart, you get some way to reseal the packs, and you just randomly pick two and just keep doing it. It really does the chaos aspect of it.
This would be great for your guys.
You might open an Oracle of Moldiah or a Crater Hoof Behemoth. There's like $50, $60, $70 cards in this.
So I may do something like that with them once we get back on center. I may go to Steam, and here's the thing: it's
an unlimited print run, so there have been some distribution issues and some pricing issues right now. They're going to keep printing this for the foreseeable future. This is not going to go away. So a booster box of it should cost you about $125, which is very reasonable. And the amount of replayability you're going to get out of this, this is one of the best Magic products they've ever come out with. I'm going to say this right now. It's awesome. And I'll say this too. I have opened packs and played and gotten crushed multiple times. I'm like, well, this sucks. But I grounded out, got my two wins, and immediately changed. You know, that's just how it is sometimes.
Okay. Well, there you go. And there's that. So Jumpstart's fun. Highly recommend it. Let's talk a little bit. I want to give you guys an update. Let me pull up my PDF here. We have managed to fire off the Win a Box event. So the last week and a half, we've been having guys play. I shouldn't say guys because we do have some females. So where we're standing right now is we're down to our 16. So, and we've got three games left. So 16 minus three, carry the one. 13 games. So,
we're getting it narrowed down.
There were eight games. Yeah, so it's eight games. So we've got three left to go. So five have been played. So right now, as it stands, going into round three, Mike Sanchez, Mark, who's one of our patrons, he did get his bye, Margraves, Tretion, Keith, have all gone on. Steve and Anthony both going down after their bye. I'm going to bust their stones on that.
This
goes to show
you the bye doesn't get you anything.
So the bye doesn't get you much, but it gets you the second round. But we've still got Walt, Mike, Alice, and Matt, and George and Ted to play. So once they play, we'll go on to, and we'll be down to our Elite Eight.
And then we're going to
the Final Four and then the Finals. So, I'm excited, though. I mean, this is really firing. I'm really glad we did it this way. The Discord, they're talking about it. By the way, our Discord, and I need to change our wallpaper for this. If you want to join our Discord, I've made it very easy. Discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. So I have added that. I managed to get that to work. So the people are in there, and it's becoming a really robust community. I'm very excited for that. But yeah, we're doing pretty well here. So I think we're a good week and a half, maybe. Maybe okay. By next Monday we'll have an idea of who at least the finals are. But I'm hoping that, you know, with that we're going to get some excitement there. But I'm really, really enjoying this. We're going to do it again. I'm not calling for it yet. So if you're listening to the show and you didn't get in, there were a few people that tried to get in after we closed it. Not yet. Okay, we're gonna wait till this event is over. I want to get with our patrons. I want to get with Aramis. I want to find out how we want to give away the Zendikar Rising box. I think we're going to do another play event, and I think it's going to be probably, if I have a say, I like the idea of either standard artisan or historic artisan. Yeah. What would you think?
I would probably say standard, only because it might be a little harder to get a hold of some of the historic cards. But we'll see.
You're probably right. So probably is going to be like standard artisan, which is basically commons and uncommons. So yeah. So no shocklands. Or do we let them have shocklands?
We'll have to talk about this.
That would be interesting. So no, because then I have to get involved in like really deck looking, and I don't want to do that. All right. So like I said, congratulations to Mike Sanchez, Mark, Jason Margraves, Tretion, Keith. Congratulations, you guys are going on round three. Walt, Mike, Alice, Matt, and George and Ted, for crying out loud, play your damn games. So we've got that. Let me pull up the email real quick. I don't know that we have any emails going on. But I do know that this Wednesday we're going to be doing Commander. Is this week just a regular Commander week?
Yeah,
right?
I made some changes to my deck. I'm looking forward to see how they play out.
And I'm just checking. And no, we don't have any emails. So we'll just go right on to but that's going to be pretty much it, man. We did manage to get in and right around an hour. I feel pretty good about this because we were running late for a while there, bro. We just flew through main two. So let's go ahead and get into end step.
End step.
All right. So as we're picking up our cards and putting them in the boxes, putting our play mats and rolling them up and getting everything ready, Aramis and I am moving the pizza boxes to the trash because, damn it, your mother still does not work here. Both Aramis and I want to remind you, we do stream Arena on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planeswalkers Podcast there. We also stream the show live there now. You can follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
Honestly, most of the streaming that I do is going to be going through the Planeswalkers Podcast channel now. But if I do ever stream by myself, it's going to be ArmekWRX. So look me up there on Twitch. If Twitter is more your speed to follow the show and you want to keep up with us that way, you can find our show at PlanesTalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WRBenson, but let's be honest, guys, I don't tweet that often. I'm really only there to follow the comings and goings of my favorite boy band, the New Kids on the Block. And I want to—I just got a thing for Donnie, man. I just want to see what Donnie's up to. And Jordan's just a poser. But I don't know why I know two of those names. No, I don't think I can pull
stop. It. Stop it. Oh, God, stop it. That, if you Jordan, say them all at once, Donnie. They get summoned from the underworld. Don't do it. Yeah. God
there's
damn
like
it.
Joey. There's like his brother Jonathan and oh gosh, I can't remember the fifth one. All right, phew, I'm good. I got to keep my man card. All right, so but just go there, and of course you can always follow us on Facebook. We're on there. It's facebook.com/planestalker. Like and follow our page there. And again, we have our Discord server now. If Discord is your speed, you want to interact with us in real time, you can find us at discord.com or discord.planestalkerspodcast.com.
That'll be really good to see you. We hope to see you there. And finally, if you want to send us an email to either check in with the show, tell us how we're doing, or if you have an idea for something we could talk about on the show, or even if you want to ask for advice, we have an Ask Aramis section where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. If you want to send us an email, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And Steve, you better not forget about Commander Cast on Wednesday.
Yeah, no tardiness this time.
So, yes. And by the way, if you're wondering who we're referring to with Steve and all that, you know, if you check out our show live on Twitch or Facebook, our chat room is wide open and it just shows up on the screen. So if you've always wanted to see your name in print, I should get that bump from the jerk. If you've always wanted to see your name in print, show up for that. I want to remind you guys, I do host another podcast on the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's on an infinite hiatus at this point.
Infinite hiatus.
However, it's called Legends TV Talk, but What's really exciting is that I have been streaming and playing Minecraft with them on what's called a Flashcraft server. We're building DC Universe stuff in Minecraft. So actually what I'm building is I'm building the Xavier Mansion.
Where's the button that has Homer Simpson?
Building the X-Men space.
That does a thing. Nope. There it is. There it is.
All right, so I want to remind you guys of that, but you can check us out at Legends TV Talk on Facebook or just look up Flashcraft on Twitch, and I do stream it there. I don't stream it here. I do stream just to Minecraft 73 because I'm like, it's a little rude. But I guess that's a show for us tonight.
Nope, looking forward to Wednesday night. I really can't wait to see how the changes play out.
So am I. It's going to be good. All right, so with that, I want to say thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight. We've really enjoyed having y'all here. It's good to be back. Taking a week off is hard, but I'm glad we did it. We will be back Wednesday night. Tune in here, same around 8 o'clock, 7:30 actually, for Commander Craft. So it's going to be Aramis, I, probably Steve and Anthony, who are Colin and Ryan of this show. And they'll be playing with us, and maybe, who knows, we have a few open seats. If you want to play and you have an EDH paper deck, feel free to get a hold of us on the Discord or send us an email and I'll get you in. So for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you guys for listening and watching tonight, hanging out with us, and for downloading this podcast. We do appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks again. And we want to remind you to save some of your mana and keep it untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care. Bye-bye.